It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. A milk processing plant closed in Delta a few years ago, and the impact is still being felt. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Montrose Economic Development Corporation held its annual meeting last Friday. Their executive director, Sally Head, announced news that many had feared for a long time. Whitfield Dairy, a business that's been operated for generations, is closing. Ryan and Rick Whitfield are the current owners.
Ryan jokingly said, you know, when the semis are lined up from the dairy down to the Daily Press, people will get the understanding that we're hauling the cattle out.
That's Sally Head. She says that they've known for a while that the dairy was probably closing, especially when they didn't buy feed for their livestock, instead just using their reserves. In 2014, Meadowgold closed their milk processing plant in Delta, dramatically challenging the feasibility of a large dairy out on the western slope.
The dairy has to ship the milk all the way to the eastern slope, where before they could take it to Delta and have it processed there. So that is a huge increase in their overhead.
Most of the cattle will be sold off the next few months, and they plan to sell the property by the end of summer. Head says the closure won't only affect the 22 employees who are losing their jobs. Whitfield Dairy also purchased feed from about 3,500 acres in the surrounding area. Those growers need to either find a new buyer or switch crops. That's not as simple, though, as simply changing which seeds are planted in the spring. Different equipment is needed for planting and harvesting different crops. Expensive equipment.
You know, the sugar beets left in the 70s. Coors barley left before the sugar beets did, and that's when they decided to develop the sweet corn. Every industry evolves, and this is one more piece of the evolution cycle of agriculture, and we just need to work to fill that void with something else.
MEDC will be working with growers throughout the transition, seeking investment and federal support. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A bill to create a temporary grant program to aid Colorado communities during times of economic crisis is making its way through the Capitol. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Democratic Senator Carrie Donovan availed to sponsoring the measure.
Communities that will benefit from this bill will be rural communities across the state that have significant job loss. So that could be across an industry, or it could be from a single employer.
The Western Slope lawmaker says the layoff of hundreds of coal miners in Delta County and the surrounding area inspired the bipartisan legislation. It seeks to transfer $2 million from the unclaimed property trust fund to pay for the grant program. Donovan sponsored a similar measure last year that died in committee. It sought money from the general fund.
And the reason I feel more confident in it passing this year is because I believe that the policy is going to trump the politics.
The bill cleared its first committee earlier this month and now heads to the Senate Appropriations Committee for review. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
On Saturday, Senator Donovan, along with Democratic Representative Millie Hamner and House Majority Leader Chrysanta Duran, will be in Paonia for a meet-and-greet. The hour-long event starts at 4 p.m. at Weishart Springs Inn. Coal production in Colorado has dropped to its lowest level in at least 15 years. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce has more.
Numbers released last week by the Colorado Division of Reclamation and Mining Safety show coal production has been declining for 3 years now.
The numbers are not what we would like to see, of course.
That's Stuart Sanderson, president of the Colorado Mining Association. Coal has been facing stiff competition from low natural gas prices for a while, but Sanderson blames the decline on regulation.
Some lawmakers have done everything they can to drive coal out of the energy mix.
Largely, he points to the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan, which would cut carbon emissions from power plants. The Supreme Court is currently weighing the legality of that proposal. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
Colorado lawmakers are divided over whether a hospital provider fee should be reclassified in the state budget so it doesn't count towards the state's revenue limit under the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Benta Berkland talks to reporters about the politics of it all as part of our weekly Capital Conversation series.
I'm here with Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal and Megan Schrader with the Colorado Springs Gazette. Supporters of relabeling this hospital provider fee say it'll free up millions of dollars in the budget.
Yes. The idea is that right now the hospital provider fee, which brings in $550 million or more a year, counts against the revenues limited by the taxpayer's Bill of Rights cap. And by pulling it out and turning it into an enterprise fund, it will take it out from under the Tabor budget cap. We'll stop refunds that are scheduled to go back to voters of tax revenues over the next couple of years, and will allow full funding of transportation as envisioned in another bill that was passed in 2009, will allow more funding toward education. That's the general look from the supporters. However, the supporters are not doing well in convincing Senate President Bill Cadman that this is a legal and constitutional move to turn it into an enterprise fund.
But in an interesting twist, adding to the list of supporters is former Attorney General John Southers, who is now the mayor of Colorado Springs, who is a Republican, who says that there is a constitutional way to turn this into a enterprise and to avoid having to pay out Tabor refunds. One interesting thing that Southers said to me was, long term, forget next year's budget, long term, this is going to just gobble up our budget as Medicaid expenses continue to grow. That's not really an argument Democrats have made much, perhaps because they often look away from the cost of Medicaid expansion. But that is the crux of this, is that as the Medicaid expansion costs grow, so will this fee and the need to refund some money to taxpayers.
Ed, why do you think this has become so political? Megan's pointing out that not every Republican is opposed to this relabeling, but inside the state legislature, it has largely fallen along party lines.
I think when Bill Cadman came out in early January and said, look, this is unconstitutional, it violates Tabor, it kind of set him up on a plank that he couldn't walk back from unless somebody could come out and show definitively, no, this is not a Tabor violation. Well, in the last week and a half, we've seen two former legal counsels, one for a Republican governor, one for a Democratic governor, say, look, you can do this, this is legal. And Cadman just doubled down on, look, their opinion is bunk, I don't buy this, I'm not moving. So at this point, I think it becomes a test of how much do you want to support Tabor at a time when the Republican Party, as you can see from the presidential primary, is very polarized, and it takes on more than an argument about road funding. That's a separate argument, and other people are starting to think of other ways to get around this, almost giving up on the idea that we are going to see a hospital provider fee fix because there's such bearing in on the constitutionality of this move.
And do you think we're going to see any traction, or is it pretty much over at this point?
So if you can't get it through the Senate president, the other option is to take it to voters. But it is such a complicated issue. How do you start explaining to voters, well, there's this hospital provider fee? It's a hard sell.
And you've already seen people coming forward with other alternatives. Just recently, the Colorado Contractors Association came forward and said, we're preparing a ballot initiative this year that would hike the state sales tax for transportation funding because we don't think anything's going to get done in the legislature. You're going to see more of those ideas come up the more set in stone party leaders' opinions become.
Thanks. That was Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal and Megan Schrader with the Colorado Springs Gazette. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix.